Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Fine hour of the program as we take you into the weekend. Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris, Rob Long is off today. We bring in Cam Rogers, a little U.S. Open talk here, and he has his podcast, Lock It In podcast. Cam, tell us a little bit about your podcast real quick.
Hey, good morning. Great to be with you guys. Yeah, so it's a sports betting-centric show. I have interviews with personalities. I dish out my best bets in the golfing world and talk about other sports as well. Plenty of NFL content, college football content coming as the fall approaches.
So how has the U.S. Open been impacted by all that we've seen in the last couple of weeks with LIV?
It's been a story. You know, at times earlier this week, I forgot that there was even a tournament to sort of cover because there's this whole LIV versus PGA Tour thing. And honestly, the best way to describe this is surreal, bizarre, fascinating, even because you have these guys who are basically making a decision, right? Whether they want to stay on the PGA Tour and go with legacy and maybe even morals, if you want to put it that way. And then guys who are going for the financial stability, cashing out, Phil Mickelson getting $200 million guaranteed, that sort of situation. So guys are starting to make their decisions here. We're actually going to get some news on Monday of a top 16 world-ranked player defecting to the LIV Golf Tour. So this is a very real threat to the PGA Tour, there's no doubt.
Wow. What do you make of the top of the leaderboard after day one? Because there's a few names that aren't household names, and then right after them there's a handful of guys that you expect to be at the top of the leaderboard.
Yeah, it's really interesting leaderboard right now. MJ Dafu, of course, is a guy that really wasn't on anybody's radar. He's in the lead right now at 6 under par and playing fantastically. Typically for somebody like him who's ranked 800-something in the world, if you have a good round at a U.S. Open, it's tough to follow that up the next day with another good round. So he's doing well so far. Adam Hadwin actually had a nice run at the Players Championship during the Florida swing. So, you know, I'm not too surprised to see him playing pretty well, although he is 1 over par through two. And, of course, Rory McIlroy is a guy who won last week at the RBC Canadian Open. I think he has his swagger back, honestly. And it's been some time since he's won a major championship. You got to go back to 2014. But I think there's some serious possibility here for him to hoist the trophy on Sunday evening. Now, like, this leaderboard's going to be a lot different on Sunday as well. So, you know, that's just kind of how golf is, right? Very volatile, can be kind of random at times. I'm thinking the leaderboard will look a lot different, though, this weekend.
It seems like a lot of some of the players have been very, very split by this. I'll go back to LIV. Guys like John Rahm, I thought his comments were really well put. And, you know, he said, yeah, he's enough money to retire now. I don't need more money. He said, I'm more about legacy, and I like, you know, the prestige or the tradition of playing in 100, you know, tournament that's been the same forever. How is this working out with guys? Are relationships being strained between guys who have been friends for a while?
I would think so. You know, reportedly it's getting pretty awkward out there at the U.S. Open between these LIV and PGA Tour golfers. I mean, listen, these guys have to sort of interact in the locker room too. How do those interactions go? You know, are they just awkward glances or what have you? I mean, what if Rory is paired up with, oh, I don't know, Dustin Johnson on Sunday, right? And Rory is kind of the ambassador these days of the PGA Tour, and DJ is now on the LIV Tour. So I think, you know, it comes down to priorities, right? Of course, it's easy for John Rahm to say I'm sticking with the PGA Tour because he's one of the elites on the golf stage, and he's winning, and he's making money that way. But it's not as easy for somebody like Dustin Johnson, who hasn't been playing well this year, or Sergio Garcia, who's missing cuts left and right. Like, if you need the financial stability, go ahead and cash out on the LIV Tour. But, you know, I think, you know, John Rahm put it correctly. Brooks Koepka kind of was a little thorny during his press conference this week. He was getting annoyed with the media as if, like, he wasn't expecting these questions. Like, right. Let's be real. This is the story. You know what I mean? So, you know, journalists are trying to do their job. So, again, it goes back to priorities. And, you know, going back to Phil, too, we're talking about a guy who lost $40 million in gambling. Like, I'm not surprised he's cashing out here.
Right. Talking to Cam Rogers, Lock It In podcast here on 105.7 The Fan. And Cam, you mentioned a top 15 golfer. Like, has there been any speculation of who the next guy could be to defect, if that's even the right word to use?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I'm looking at the list here, and I have a couple of thoughts. I'm thinking maybe Xander Schauffele could be a guy that goes on over. And listen, like, none of these guys are going to move the needle. I think Billy Horschel could be another option as well. He's number 11 in the world as we stand. Victor Hovland could be a possibility, but that one would surprise me. So those are some names to sort of track. But at the end of the day, look, LIV got their white whale, if you will, in Phil Mickelson, the second most popular golfer on the planet. They tried for Tiger Woods, nearly $1 billion, by the way, guaranteed. He said no. So, you know, any defections really won't change viewership, I don't think, going forward here. But it will still be a threat to the PGA Tour as far as prestige is concerned, because if you have, you know, all these talented golfers going on over, well, what are you as the PGA Tour anymore? Are you still the elite of the elite? It's a really fascinating development. It's only been one event for the LIV Tour, so we'll see what happens. There are some events this fall, so they're not only competing with the PGA Tour, but, of course, the Shield, the NFL. How does that all work out as far as viewership is concerned? So it's a wait-and-see approach for sure.
Okay, what about the course itself? Does this course favor anyone that, you know, we should be looking at right here? We know Rory just won, so he's obviously going to be a favorite. But does this course, you know, lay out well for anybody?
Yeah, you know, it's a shorter golf course, right? The years past at the U.S. Open, it's been big ballparks, Torrey Pines, Winged Foot. The Country Club, I'm about 45 minutes south right now. It's a par 70, 7,200 yards. So I think this is going to bring in a lot of different golfers here to the leaderboard. And by that, I mean the shorter hitters can contend here. The short game artists can contend here. The putters can contend here as well. It's not just about driving distance and ball striking here this week, especially when we're talking about the second smallest greens in major championship history outside of Pebble Beach. So the way in which I'm seeing this tournament kind of play out is that everybody's going to miss greens. So everybody's going to be in the same bucket here, if you will, of trying to save themselves for par, getting out of these bunkers, which is the big defense of this golf course. So, you know, Matt Fitzpatrick, not surprised to see him inside the top 10. You know, he won on this golf course back in the 2013 U.S. Amateur. Back to Adam Hadwin, one of the best short game players out there. Webb Simpson playing pretty well so far. He's a great short game player. So you're going to see, you know, an interesting mixture of different type of golfers here this week. So the short guys can certainly contend here.
Cam Rogers, appreciate the time, man. Check it out. Tell everybody where they can find the Lock It In podcast.
Yeah, search Lock It In wherever you get your podcast. And, of course, follow me on Twitter at Mr. Rogers 99. Big Baltimore sports fan, Maryland alum. So appreciate being with you guys.
Go Thanks, Terps. Cam.
All right. Go Terps, guys.
Yeah, I almost bring Joe in here because as soon as he told me it was the Lock It In podcast, I started saying, lock it up. You lock it up.
Lock it up. You said lock it on.
Wedding Crashers. And then I'm reading my handwriting. Can you read my handwriting there? It looks like I wrote lock it on. So I'm a dumbass. I can't see. I can't read my own handwriting.
You're right.
Why don't you just wear glasses?
Shut up, Joe.
You know, the other person who used to sit in that chair refused to wear glasses.
That's true.
To wear glasses also.
It's not that I refuse. I know I have to
I think
them.
It's the chair.
I want... Now you're getting me very upset. It's not the chair. Sorry. I told my wife. My wife's going to go. We're going to look at glasses, and she's going to pick them out and tell me which one she likes, because I'm terrible at that stuff.
Does he look like Buddy Holly?
You rub your sack on that chair, and he sits in it later?
No, because he goes and gets his own chair.
No, that is a chair. What did I put it back in here this morning.
Did you? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is his chair.
Yeah.
But I do that. I go in the other room and find his chair, and, you know, like his drum set in Step Brothers, and just rub that thing right across it. You help me
hey,
sometimes.
Hey, I was just told to tell dumbass Ed that he Lysols the chair before he sits in
You can't
in
get
it.
This stank off it.
Okay, good. Yeah. That's fine.
Always listening.
There's some serious stank on that hang low. So I'm just letting you know to drag that thing all
it's disgusting.
Across. Thank you.
I don't care how much Lysol you put on there. Yeah. He's still got his bare skin on it.
Yep. Keep it up. Wind that puppy up. That's what we're going to do. All right. We'll talk some Orioles baseball. Some interesting stuff that's been put out there about Cal Ripken and possibly ownership. We'll talk about that. Jeff Barker had the story in the Baltimore Sun. We'll get to that. But up next, it's the Daily Line. I've had two really rough days. After having 10 straight days of winning, I've had two horrific days back-to-back. It's gambling. We'll talk about it, but I have a play that I absolutely love tonight. I'll tell you what it is when we come back here on the Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Man, oh man, oh man. The only thing I got right yesterday. The only thing. Celtics Warriors under 210. Top one of the top plays on the day. Cubs Padres. By the way, that was courtesy of the Warriors Radio Network. Cubs Padres over was my top overall play. It finished at 10. A 10. The total was 10.5 when I posted it in the morning. Lost by a half a run. Had the Mariners over the Angels. How'd that go? Not well. The Angels won. Red Sox and A's. Plenty of guys on base. Over 9. It didn't go over 9. It finished at 4-3. Rangers and Tigers over 9. The weather was phenomenal in Detroit. Great hitting ballpark. Game went under the total. Yankees and Rays over 7.5. Had a walk-off homer. Yankees won 4-3. I lose by a half. Orioles and Blue Jays under 8.5. The Orioles covered that by themselves. I was right on my hunch that Tyler Wells was going to pitch well. I was wrong on my hunch that Kevin Gausman would pitch well because he got annihilated. One of those days that you just look, you want to put it out of your mind. 0-6 in baseball, 1-0 in basketball. The only thing we have going on today is baseball. So as good as I was over the past 10 days, yesterday and the day before that were brutal to me. So we bounce back. Only MLB going on today, so I'll run through this as best I can. Let me tell you about the weather. Weather favors a lot of overs. These are all overs that the weather favors. Phillies, they have a doubleheader. Both games today going to be hot. Ball should be carrying. One of the totals in the game is 10.5. I'm not touching either Phillies game, but they like the over. Reds over. That's one we're going to take a look at. The Red Sox over. We'll take a look at that. Giants over and the Rockies over. A couple of these games I'm on. One of them happens to be my favorite play on the day. So let's get into it. I like the Blue Jays minus 120, against the Yankees. I think they have the favorable matchup here. I know the Yankees have been just killing it. They're coming off a sweep of the Rays or just dominating the Rays in that series. But in tonight's matchup, should be a good one especially with the bats too, because you know both of these teams, they're going to get up for this. This is going to be a huge rivalry. And I told you earlier, Jordan Montgomery versus Ross Stripling. So it's not a great pitching matchup. It's which offense is really going to take off. Montgomery's been fine for them, but again, you get another, you get pitchers in this matchup. You just fully expect to give up the long ball. And then we just saw the best pitchers that the Toronto Blue Jays had to offer. But I do like the Blue Jays minus 120 over the Yankees. I like the Angels and the Mariners to go under 7.5. Arguably the best pitcher on today's slate, or at least he grades out the best, is Robbie Ray against this Angels lineup. Angels get off the schneid last night, get a win, but we're right back to it. And I think in me saying the under, I still like the other side of it too, with Michael Lorenzen pitching for the Angels, as Seattle hasn't, their offense leaves a little bit to be desired. Cubs and Braves, I like it to go under 8. That's another one where, pitching matchups should be halfway decent with Charlie Morton on the mound. Wind blow. The wind's changed a little bit in Wrigley. Again, that's the most sensitive stadium, the wind, for how it's positioned. Whether it's blowing in or out can definitely change up everything for you. But I do like the under there. Now, a couple of overs that I'm going to be on, and one more under. But I like the Padres and Rockies over 11.5. Weather supports it. The ball should be flying out of that park. How about San Diego this week, Ed? They go to Wrigley for 3 win games where the totals are in the double digits, helping out the batters. And then they just hammer the Cubs in 3 games. Now they go to Colorado to get Coors Field, where all their games are going to be in double digits.
Right.
Batter's got to be smiling this week.
They scored 19 runs.
Yeah.
That was one game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were really good yesterday, too. Pitching was on as Joe Musgrove had a nice start. I was on the over in that game. Again, it finished at 10, but 10.5 just didn't get there. I like the White Sox and the Astros. Go ahead. You have something?
I just can't believe it. Otani went 6 innings yesterday, and he went 2-for-4 at the plate.
It's ridiculous.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, maybe he's the only guy in baseball that should get wins by his name. Wins and losses. But
he went 2-for-4, and he went 6 innings. Gave him 3 hits.
Downright crazy. So you look at the situation there with what Otani did, and I'm surprised he didn't take more days off. But he pitched great yesterday. I like the White Sox and Astros under 7.5. That would be Framber Valdez coming off a poor start down south against the Marlins. But I fully expect him to bounce back. And when you look at the White Sox, they'll have Lucas Giolito on the mound for them. I think this one goes under the 7.5. My favorite play on the day, Weather Edge supports it. So let me go to that and tell you exactly what they have here. I like Boston and St. Louis to go over 9.5. Remember how we were telling you how hot it was in St. Louis? Well, this game happens to be in Boston. I left it out, the Brewers and Reds over 9. I think, I don't know if I mentioned that, but 39.4% bump in home runs, almost a 30% bump in total runs, ERA going up at 26%. So you like it there. Same thing with the Red Sox and Cardinals, ERA going up at about 10%, a 22.5% bump to home runs, 16-mile-an-hour winds blowing out to right. And when you look at the pitching matchup for these guys, all things considered, not a lot here that you're going to love for Boston. Boston's going to trot out Michael Wacha, who's actually coming off a really good start, which means he's probably going to get it handed to him. Adam Wainwright going to be going for St. Louis, but he grades out as one of the worst pitchers on today's slate,
really,
according to an algorithm, just because of the lineup he's going to face and how he's been pitching as of recent. So, and of course, that wind blowing out. You got to like the lefties. You got to like Devers today. You have to think that J.D. Martinez goes to both fields, but it's going to be a really interesting matchup, and I like the Red Sox to score a bunch of runs today. 9.5 is the total. I think it goes well over. So
when you look at the Weather Edge,
mm-hmm.
do they just do daily, like what stadiums have, you know, what going on, or do they have certain stadiums like Wrigley and Yankee Stadium that are always wind-aided?
So they have data for everything, okay? So you're not going to, obviously, if you're in a dome, if it's a retractable roof and they find out it's open, they'll have data for that. But what they do is they take the weather on a daily basis for those games, and then they tell you actually how much data they have for it. Like, for example, there are some games where you're only going to have 3 games of data that match what's going on currently in today's weather. So that's what they're doing. They're saying, okay, here's what today's weather is. Wind blowing out roughly at this. And then it gives you, the algorithm creates what the metric should be for it and let you know, like, oh, there's an edge to home runs here in games that have weather just like this.
Right.
So, for example, one of the reasons why I'm not betting the Phillies and Nats, even though the weather edge supports it, it's only 3 games of data on a day like today. Whereas if I take, that Brewers-Cubs game, that's 30 games of data.
Oh.
So you trust that a little bit more.
Sure.
You know, if I look at the Red Sox and Cardinals, that's 74 games of data. I trust that even more. So that's why, and again, all these things of me telling you that there's a bump like of 23% to home runs,
mm-hmm.
all they're telling you is that there's a 23% better chance that home runs are hit on that day.
Right.
So I just think those things help out. That's where you're creating the edge that you might not have. And that's why I use this to help me. Like I write up all my plays and then I go look at the weather. And if the weather matches up with my plays, that's when I double a bet or, you know, I go a little harder at it. So to recap, I like the Blue Jays. I like the Angels and Mariners to go under. Reds, Brewers over. Cubs, Braves under. Padres, Rockies over. White Sox, Astros under. And my favorite play on the day, Red Sox, Cardinals to go over 9.5. There you go. All right. We got more coming up on the show. I want to talk to you about Jeff Barker and what he had he put out on Twitter about the Major League Baseball regarding Cal Ripken. We'll get to that and talk about the Orioles coming up tonight against the Rays and take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. So, yeah, the Orioles, they win yesterday, split the series with the Blue Jays 2-2. Kevin Gausman gets knocked around. Was that the most surprising? Like, I'm not surprised that the Orioles' bats get it going against any pitcher, I was just surprised that in the third inning, it just seemed like Gausman melted down because he's been so, so good this year.
He's been really good this year. I was really worried when they were facing him because of how good he's played all year. And I was stunned to see how they just boxed his ears yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, just took him out of things. And early on, ow, just bumped my head on my mic. Why the hell would I do that? Early on in the game, the second inning, Gausman had a little bit of trouble in the first. Second got a couple of Ks, and you're like, okay, he's going to look like Kevin Gausman. And then in the third inning, the floodgates just opened up, and he never even got out of it. So now they head to New York, or they play New York. I think it's still in Toronto, as the Blue Jays are a 120 favorite. But the Orioles get the Rays this weekend. But I wanted to get to this, Ed, because there's a story out that's in the Baltimore Sun that Major League Baseball has encouraged Cal Ripken Jr. to become part of the ownership group if the Orioles are sold. This gets brought up all the time. We actually just saw something similar happen in Miami with Derek Jeter, and he's already left the Marlins. What are your thoughts on Cal being a part of this? I think it makes sense because of, look, he's been Baltimore through and through, grew up here, played here, finished his career here, has been a big part of it, Ripken Stadium in Harford County, the statue, all the things with Cal. Do you think it's a good idea that he be a part of an ownership group if, in fact, the team does get sold?
100%. I mean, I can't think of anybody better, somebody who would be more well-received by the fans and the people. He is as Baltimore as you get. They say, right?
Mm-hmm.
Grew up here.
Yeah, I mean, my mom went to high school with him.
Really? Yeah, I mean, just...
Cal might be my dad. I don't know if he knows that.
Could be.
Probably not.
No, probably not. Hey, but I mean, seriously, I think he would be perfect for this. I really do.
Yeah, I guess it makes sense, but you'd have to find... Look, people that always want him involved, you have to find the right person that has enough money to buy a team.
Yeah.
The teams are so expensive. What were the Broncos just sold for? How many billion?
4.5, I think.
It's just those are ridiculous numbers, right? So 4.5 billion? That's what are these teams getting so expensive that there's a limited amount of people that could actually purchase them?
There's groups.
Yeah.
Because no one can, very few, there's not that many billionaires in the country. And if there are, you can't give all your billions away to buy a team. So the team's $4 billion. I mean, that's a ridiculous amount of money.
How many years do you and I have to work to get to a billion?
Hundreds, probably.
You want to, maybe in a couple hundred years, you and I get to get in on this and buy a team?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Sounds great. I'm sure they'll improve medicine by then, and we'll be able to live forever, Ed. I intend to live forever. So far, so good. But getting back to the Orioles and with the Ripken stuff that's being said, I think it makes perfect sense to get him involved. But in my mind, would I love to see him involved? Yes. But ultimately, is that something that's going to be a deal breaker for me? Or I just want the team to be moved in the right direction. And I feel like they're going there. And then the whole thing that happened with the infighting with the Angelos brothers, not a good look.
All right. So we made...
Did you do the math?
Yeah. Made $100,000 each individual, whatever. Say you make $100,000. It would take you 10,000 years to make $1 billion.
If I didn't spend any of it.
If you didn't spend any of it. And there were no taxes.
Might have to figure out a quicker way.
You don't have 10,000 years?
No. What if we... All right. So let's take that money we make over the next 20 years and then we bet it. We gamble. We keep doubling up.
Uh-huh.
Or we just bet on the largest underdog at the beginning of the year. What was it in That's My Boy? Didn't they bet on the fat guy to win the...
Never saw that movie.
Are you serious?
I think you're one of seven people that watched that movie.
That movie it's pretty funny.
You just like Rex Ryan in it.
Yeah, he is great. But Rex Ryan's the one that convinces him to bet on, what was it, Fatty McGee or whatever the guy's name was. They have a 400-pound man that wins the Boston Marathon. So he wins all the money. Anyway, I ruined the movie. So now Joe's never going to see it.
Never going to see it because that was the start of the string of just awful Adam Sandler movies where he's basically like, I can make whatever I want and you're still going to watch.
That actually has funny parts.
All his movies.
That actually has funny parts in it. Have any of you guys seen his new movie, Hustle, yet?
I have not seen it, but I've heard that is good.
Well, it's a sports movie, so it's fun. I don't know that it's necessarily great. I enjoyed watching it. But the people going up to Juancho Hernan Gomez saying, hey, are you going to act in other movies? No, he played a Spanish basketball player. You know what he is? A Spanish basketball player. I think he says all of 25 words in the entire movie. Stop. But anyway, back to the Orioles. Point is, they get an action against the Rays. They get Shane Baz tonight. when you look at, and I was talking about the weather too, and I looked at the weather for the Orioles, there's nothing that really suits one way or the other, but Dean Kramer's on the mound, and what he has done, it's obviously hot outside. Wind's kind of blowing left to right, so there's no effect there. But what he has done, does it give you promise of what you saw in his last start to come into this start? Because he was a little wild, but he was effective.
He was pretty good. I mean, not perfect, but I thought pretty good.
Yeah. Couple of walks where you could see he was visibly upset at himself, cursing in his glove. And then, you know, he had that one pitch that just almost, if there was no net, it would have went into like the eighth row. Yep. You're going, where the hell was that?
I was right out of major league.
Yeah. Hit the mascot. But, you know, that's another guy that was part of that Manny Machado trade. And we're still wondering, what are we getting out of the Manny Machado trade? We saw Rylan Bannon this year at one point. Everybody wondering where Yusnail Diaz is.
I was like, where's Diaz?
AAA?
Hurt again, I think.
Yeah. All he did was he heard about him for, oh my God, Yusnail. And then he was supposed to be this promising player. And now you don't hear about him at all.
I still go back to when that trade was, and whatever ends up being true, but you know, the rumors get out that the Orioles said, hey, how about Will Smith? They said, no. How about Gavin Lux? No. How about Walker Buehler? No. You know, but there was one or two. Oh, how about, who's the other pitcher that wears the glasses there? I can't remember his name. Why am I blanking on it? But anyway, how about him? No. All right. Well, who can we get? Well, we'll give you Yusnail Diaz and four other guys. Oh, that sounds great. We'll take that. And that's how you felt like it went, because you got five guys that we really haven't seen enough from. But the thing about Dean Kramer was he had a ton of strikeouts in the minor leagues for a guy that doesn't throw like upper 90s. I mean, he was hitting like 92 on the gun, but he had some movement. The big question was, could he maintain that and bring that to the major league level? And his first couple starts, I think things looked really good. And then the walks and the home runs started, and he got sent down to the minors trying to get right. And if it weren't for a couple of injuries this year and how things went, and even Grayson Rodriguez getting hurt, maybe we don't see Dean Kramer at this level. But he's getting another opportunity. Let's see if he can make the most of it. I think that's what we're all looking for, to see if he can be that guy.
I think that's what we're looking for, all these guys. Are they going to be here?
Because ultimately, you know, we talked about it the other day. I'm concerned about Bruce Zimmerman. I like what I've seen from Wells. You know, there's just a Jordan Lyles. We know what he is. It's a lot to be desired with the rotation as high as everybody was on them early on in the season, the rotation in the bullpen. I kept talking about the summer months when it starts to heat up. Can these guys still continue to get into the sixth inning? Can they still consistently give you decent outings? And we just haven't seen it, especially from Zimmerman. And it does make me wonder if there's somebody else that could replace him. We've all talked about D.L. Hall. When does he get a chance to start here? So, I mean, all that's in the pipeline, and we're waiting for it. But you know, regardless, it'll be Kramer on the mound tonight going up against this Rays team, which their lineup is fairly interesting because they're missing a few guys out of it. I know they've got some guys on the IL, but it's been kind of a who's who of, like, if we sat here and talked about the Rays lineup, I just want to go back to last night where they played the Yankees. Rays lineup, they lose 4-3. This is what the Rays, Diaz, Ramirez, Margot, Arozarena is the one guy. Paredes is hit. He was at first base for him. And then you look at guys like Pinto, Kiermaier, Phillips, Walls, Brujan. These aren't household names. Like the guy, the Brandon Lyles that, you know, oh, he's hitting the top line. Remember, Austin Meadows went to the Tigers and the deal that they sent him there. Their lineup is very wanting. It's a bunch of guys that see a lot of pitches, work some walks. It's a lot like, what would you say, like the old Oakland A's, where you're looking at can these guys take pitches? And they'll change their lineup according to right-left. They have no problem. Kevin Cash has no problem pulling a guy out of the middle of the lineup, putting somebody else pinch hitting because he feels like he's got a better shot with a lefty against a righty than an everyday player. The only guy that really stays in that lineup and never gets pinch hit for is Arozarena. Other than that, and they've changed it up from who's batting leadoff. Like, their lineup has been so different all year long. Something to keep your eye on for Orioles fans.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.